This message entitled Which is Which was delivered to Christ our Rock Bible Church on September 20th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is 1 Samuel 28.
Praise God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord, we want to thank you, dear God, that your Spirit has promised to fill us every time we seek you. If we truly do want to hear from you and from your holy word, you will meet your people. Lord, we don't have to beg, borrow, and steal. We don't have to come and pound on the table as some people do in their religious experiences and begging God for this or that or something else. No, Lord, this is freely given. What you have for your people, what you want to share even today, is freely given. And I want to thank you, dear God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to do so even right now. I do pray, dear God, for people really all over the world who will have access, dear God, to this message online. They could just go ahead and punch it in. Praise the Lord. And, dear God, they can hear from your heart. So I pray, dear God, you just reveal yourself to so many people all over this world, really. If they really want Jesus, they can have Jesus. If they really want God, they can have God. If we really want Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, we can have that as well. All you want is for people to want. That's it. All you want is for people to want. So I thank you, dear God, for this truth here today that you plan on revealing to us and show us, and you will have the glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Information. You've heard people use the word often. You know, they'll say, for your information, and then they'll go ahead and tell you something that maybe you already knew or maybe you didn't know. But I'm sure you're aware that every 10 years, the government ramps it up to take a census. Now, I don't know what was going on, but I got a form last year, and that was in 2019. I'm not that old, 1919. Sometimes I feel like it, but no, in 2019. There was a form. I don't know whether they're doing two in a row or whether it was just a practice run or what, but I remember filling something out for this last year, and now, big deal. Here it is 2020, which they generally do them on the 10-year, every decade they do it, and here it is 2020. Well, so, and then they send people around and they gather the information. No, they're not gathering a ton of different information. They just want to know where you are and where you live, you know. Well, interesting thing happened a couple of weeks ago. I was here. Stopping here at the cemetery and had parked over right next to the church here. And then I walked back over, and as I was leaving, and it's a good thing I noticed this ahead of time, there was a car pulling into the driveway, and I might not have seen it. And backing up, I just, you know, never know, you might end up grazing somebody or hitting somebody. Well, anyway, she was clearly looking for something and looking for, you know, I don't know, maybe a location or something or other. So I stopped and she stopped and we kind of ran aside of each other. She was pulling in, I was pulling out, opened our windows, safe distancing, of course. You know, we were at least 6 feet apart. And anyway, this lady looked familiar. And couldn't place her though. I couldn't, but we got to talking. And here it turns out she was a census taker. and she was going around, and she couldn't find a place that I knew was in Ford City. And so I said, well, it's back up this other road. Well, here it turns out she's from around here, and she knows this place pretty well, but she couldn't find this place in Ford City. She also hadn't been over to, the Sipes area, Sipes Road and so forth in there, so I told her how to get back there. And then there was a third place she was looking for, and I told her about where that was, too. Anyway, so we got to talking about this and about how she's doing with the census and so forth, and she's only allowed 15 minutes, and she's telling me all this stuff and so forth, and I'm thinking, why, you're kind of shafted now, lady, because you ran into me. It's going to be more than 15 minutes, I can tell you. Anyway, so that's about what they're allowed to do, and I think we maybe were 45, you know, not too far off from the 15. Anyway, so we got talking, and I mentioned that we lived in Worthington, and she hadn't put it together who I was either just yet. And then she's mentioned about her sister who had passed away a couple few years ago. Yeah, I was telling her about Cindy and so forth, and her sister. And then she called her Audrey. And then I said, you aren't Audrey Reed's sister, are you? Yes. Yes. And then all of a sudden she recognized me, and she says, and you were at the funeral home. And I said, yes. And I told her about how my, see, this is how it gets to be 45 minutes. Because then I told her about how Cindy and I used to walk up. She'd just about invariably have the dog out by the tree, you know, doing his stuff. And he bark, 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 bark. Well, he was one of these little tiny dogs. His name was Remy, which was short for Remington. And I thought, such a big name for such a little dog. But anyway, it turns out that later, of course, she ended up having cancer and was down in Pittsburgh. Well, I'd run into Greg from time to time, and we'd talk about it and so forth. And so we set up a time when she would be standing on the north side of the hospital and would wave, okay? Not that we could see her or anything. You know, you're talking about a half a mile away, you know, from West Penn to Children's Hospital. And Lily was going through her treatments and so forth, so we were down there every day. And so we had a set time, and she was going to wave, and we were going to wave. I don't know. Do you remember that, Lily, at all? No? Well, we did that. And I'm assuming, you know, we were waving at the same time. That was what we were trying to do with it. Okay, so we got talking about some of that stuff and so forth, and she got talking about her sister and you know, and so forth. And I was amazed, you know, what a small world. You know, it's a small world after all, you know, the old Disney song and so forth. You know, I mean, to run into her in that moment, where 2 minutes later I would have been out of the parking lot, and 2 minutes later she wouldn't have had to stay in the parking lot, you know, but she was looking for somebody to ask. And so anyway, we got to talking, and sure enough, that's, you know, we knew each other from way back then, and both understanding about losing someone, and both understanding about, you know, all that's involved in all of that. But anyway, so we're talking and so forth, and finally we, you know, kind of looked at our watches, and, you know, and she's about an hour late. But I apologized for that, and she said, oh no, this is far more important to talk to people and maybe glean some helpfulness out of things that they have to say about this. Okay, but she's working on the census. That's what she was doing. Well, it turns out, according to this story now, the decade had arrived. See, it's the beginning of the decade that they do this, and the census takers were doing their follow-up work. One of the census takers had to look up a person who lived in the backwoods of Alabama. Okay? And the woman stopped her car in front of the backwoods shack. And as she got out of her car, a voice came from the shack, "We don't want any." And she said, "I'm not selling anything." That's what she told him. "I'm here to gather census information." "We don't got none." was the response. And she said, please, you don't understand. I'm trying to find out how many people there are in the United States. Ma'am, said the voice from the shack, you're just wasting your time driving all the way out here to ask me that question because I don't know how many people are in the United States. Obviously a glaring misunderstanding of what is going on with this census. I mean, obviously this backwoods resident really didn't get it, didn't understand it, probably didn't even know what it was to take a census. But what about King Saul? What about him? Where does he stand? Does he understand what he's doing? Is he on top of the situation? Does he know anything at all? You know, certainly the king, I mean, he's got to be educated to some degree. I mean, the guy is king, okay? Certainly he would know better, all right? So why didn't he get it? Why didn't Saul understand what Samuel was trying to reveal to him and show him in what it is to be obedient to what God wants? Well, it turns out it's all a matter of attitude. Attitude and spirit. Would Saul be surrendered to the will of God yet? Do you remember we mentioned that last week? We said, well, let's wait and see. We'll get into the next story and we'll see whether or not he's really, truly repentant. Because remember, at the very end, he says, oh, David, my son, you know. And here I've been running around trying to kill you, but oh, no. You know, I was wrong, and he comes up with all this stuff to tell David, and then you wonder, because at the very end of the story, it says that David went home to the stronghold, to the fort that he had, and Saul went back to his palace. Now, it would seem to me, if they had finally come to an understanding as to what was really going on, I think there would have been more connection than just those few things that Saul had to say. And then to go ahead and leave and go in a different direction kind of shows maybe he's not quite where, you know, where he needed to be. I'll show you what I mean. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, okay? Let's see. Let's start up with the first verse, okay? And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle. So here's the Philistine king dealing with David and expecting him to be involved in his activities. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Okay, this is referring to his troops and so forth. You're going to be in charge. Verse 3, now watch this. Now Samuel was dead. The spiritual leader, the one who could provide the spiritual guidance and tell which step to take next, is now gone. He's dead. All Israel had lamented him, and they buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Now watch this. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Saul, being king, told these guys to take off. Get lost. Get out of our area. All the witches and the sorcerers, the familiar spirits, the wizards, the warlocks, all of get out of here. We don't need any of this here, okay? Familiar spirits in the Hebrew refers to a prattle, a shaking of something like you've seen or heard of stories with ghosts in them or something. What are they doing? They're walking around with a chain, right? And what are they doing with the chain? Rattling it, just to make people clear that this is a ghost coming, okay? It also has to do with your father's name. In other words, it's getting back to where you're getting into a place where you're going to be contacting those who have passed away. It's called necromancy, and it's strongly, strongly forbidden by God. Okay? So Saul, of course, doing what the king should do, set these laws up and said, get out of here. All these necromancers, all these familiar spirits, all these wizards, warlocks. By the way, the Hebrew word for wizard is conjurer or ghost. You've heard of these kind of things, people doing seances and conjuring up people from the past and all of this kind of stuff, okay? Also, another translation of familiar spirit is ventriloquist. Interesting, because that's not how it's seen today. Ventriloquism is just an art people have learned. You know, the one little girl that won the contest, you know, the big contest, America's Got Talent or something. You know, I mean, she was pretty well amazing in doing this stuff. But the background to this has to do with people speaking to the dead, having the dead speak through them, and so forth. Okay, so it's not exactly the thing that we hear about today. All right, conjurer or ghost. Okay, familiar spirits and wizards. Now you've got to know something here. All this stuff is fake. It's either fake or it's demonic. And when I say fake, I mean not real as far as God is concerned. And that can still be demonic. Okay? It's important to get this down. Some of these things are things we've talked about years ago. And I've got some resources here in this box that I'll go through a little later and just show you. And you want to borrow any of that, you can borrow it. Just make sure I get it back. Like I said, a lot of it's VCR tapes, and maybe a lot of people don't even have a VCR anymore. But we found years ago that a lot of this stuff was helpful because it's out there today. It is out there today and doing well in churches everywhere. Okay? And it's out there even now. All right? But it's fake in the sense that it's not God's truth. Okay? It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. That's why I say, forget this stuff about ghosts and spirits and people floating over the table, you know, while they're getting operated on, and then, you know, and then they, you know, go to heaven or they go to hell and see the stuff and then come back and become alive again. Baloney. I don't believe a word of it, okay? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So these people, they talk about, you know, somebody died this many times or whatever, you know. It's not really what they're talking about. All right, this is why I don't believe in all that stuff about dying and going to heaven or going to hell. You know, they got this one little cute boy with the long blonde hair, and he's got these glasses on, and he supposedly went to heaven. And then there's some other guy who claims he went to hell. You know, Jesus said you can't get from here to there. Remember when he was talking to Lazarus, the poor man, and the rich man? And the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was up in heaven. You can't just go back and forth. You know, where you are is where you are. You had time before that to get it right. Okay? So I don't buy that stuff. I mean, other people can buy it. Other people can believe in it. I just don't. I feel pretty strongly about that. Yeah. Well, I think maybe in terms of a vision, or, you know, that you see beyond something, you know, maybe that's possible. But this business about going back and forth, you know, going to heaven to see something and come back telling everybody about it, you know, Jesus even said that, you know, I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to do that kind of thing. Because a lot of people would just then go ahead and believe because they supposedly saw either heaven or hell. And that's not how people get saved. Amen? It's not. So a lot's made of that, and they've written books on it and so forth, but it's appointed unto man once to die, it says, and then the judgment. God can give you a vision. God can show you something about heaven or even hell as far as that goes. okay? But that's different from, you know, leaving this earth and going somewhere and then coming back. I just don't buy it. Satan can mimic a lot of things, so watch out with all of this. They can be parlor tricks. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can have somebody come in and say they want to do a seance. So everybody sits around the table, and the person already has the table rigged to be like you can hit it with your knee and make it move. And then everybody goes, oh, that's the spirit, you know, that's the person we were trying to talk to. And then, you know, and but other people were in on that, and they rigged it. They rigged it. Candles going out, lights flashing on and off. A lot of this is parlor tricks. A lot of this is, but even as parlor tricks, there's a demonic spirit behind it. Everybody see that? Now this is important because this stuff's going on now. This is what a lot of people are all wrapped up in and talking about and so forth. I'll show you what I mean. Now how many times have you seen shows, for example, where they're having a seance and then people believe that the person is really there? You know, they conjured up Abraham Lincoln and he talked. What? Nobody knows what Abraham Lincoln sounded like. They don't have any recordings of him or whatever, so it's easy to pull one over or something over on other people. You know, they don't know the voice of these people. And so, you know, they conjure up Lincoln. But then you start getting into talking to somebody that other people knew in the room. And all of a sudden, this person knows all this stuff that he or she couldn't possibly know. You know, they've just come in through town and they're doing this seance and they didn't know anybody. Well, you know what it turned out to be in this one example I'm thinking of? That there was an advance man that came to town early, totally separate from the person who was going to do the seances. Okay, totally separate. And then that person went around and found out about this person's past life and that person's past life, and then could share that in the process of a seance or some sort of hokey-pokey meeting of some sort. And they go, well, that person couldn't have known that any other way than if we're really talking to the person. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. So I don't think any of this stuff is real, and I think it does have a demonic spirit behind it. It might just be kids playing with the Ouija board, you know, and the Ouija board goes around and it spells this and it spells that and so forth and so on, but it's still got a demonic spirit behind it. Okay? You know, there's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as these spirits because it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There aren't people floating all over the place trying to talk to people or show people things or whatever. There's shows on and have been on for a long time where, you know, they carry on about seeing people and helping them over into the light. You know, there's always light. Every time anybody talks about one of these stories, there's always a bright light. No kidding. If you're going to try to get people to believe what you're even talking about, you're going to mention a light because that's expected. Okay? Everybody knows there's a bright light. And so, ooh, this must be for real because the kid said he saw a bright light. You know? No, it's not real because it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. All right. Now, all of this stuff has now become very, very popular. And there's a movement called the New Age movement that is pushing a lot of these kinds of things. And why? Mainly because the younger people, and I speak of anybody really, well, I'm not going to name an age or anything, but, you know, the new generation, that could be 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I mean, but older people who have been around for a while, they know that the Bible says something against this stuff. But a lot of times younger people, yourselves excluded, okay, will not know that and think, well, it happened, the person said so, the person wrote a book, you know, and so forth. But they don't have any idea whatsoever that the Bible condemns all this stuff. Okay? So what is it? Well, first of all, they don't know the Bible. Second of all, they don't care. if it's in the Bible. And thirdly, they're just planning on doing their own thing. Nobody can tell me what to do. If I want to believe in this stuff, I'm going to believe in this stuff. Well, it's not God's way, so you might as well know that. You know, right now, this is not God's way. Well, Saul wanted some information. Okay, he wanted some information. And he wasn't looking to take a census. Remember, David did that one time. You remember that? David took a census, trying to find out how many people he has in his army, and God got after him for it. That was not a good thing. Now, I'm not saying they can't run around and take a census. All they're doing is trying to get an idea of where you are and how much money to get from you in taxes. You know, that's what that's all about. Anyway, why isn't God listening to me anymore, Saul says. Because you're not close to God. You haven't been doing his will. You don't want to do things God's way. You want to do it your own way. So God stopped talking to you. You know, that should be obvious, Saul. Why don't you get that? So then she decides to go see a familiar spirit. Go see the witch. Look at verse 4. Okay, let me take you through this story. I'll just kind of go quickly here. Verse 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gibeah. Now, this is one of those things where you'd almost have to go beyond just looking something up, because Gibeah means the fountain of ebullition. And then you're thinking, what is that? What does that mean? Well, it talks about this fountain. There's something flowing, okay? Something flowing, and it's going to be a place of a bad spirit, I guess you could say, going over like a fountain. Okay, sudden violent agitation. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Okay, he got very emotional. He was violently agitated, and it was sudden. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. So anyway, he had been used to communicating with God, he's not hearing it anymore. But that's because he doesn't want to be submitted to God. He doesn't want to do things God's way. Okay? So he's not seeing him in dreams, which is one way somebody could reveal something to you. You know, in terms of a dream or a vision, okay? And he's not hearing anything from God by the Urim. That's the ephod that the priest used to wear. And it had all these stones on it and so forth. And they were used to cast lots. And they were used to find answers to things. But the answer would be from God. When they cast lots, the idea was that you may be throwing these stones around, but you didn't do it. God makes something be true or false, and he uses the Urim and he uses the Thummim to make his point, okay? And the prophets were not speaking to him, okay? These were light, brilliant figures, okay? That's what the word prophet is getting, or the word Urim is getting to, and then prophets as well. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Now, wait a minute. He's the king. He's the one that kicked them all out of the land. He's the one that told them all to get lost, that they weren't of God. Now he wants to talk to one of them. And I want to inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor, oftentimes called the Witch of Endor. Now, why is it that his servants know where she is? If he kicked everybody out of the land, why didn't he make sure she was kicked out of the land? Because he's not really willing to be 100% for God. You see that? Okay. So why is she there? Well, the law evidently wasn't enforced. The servants knew she was there, so why wasn't she kicked out? All right, the law wasn't being enforced. That's why God comes along with the Ten Commandments and says, these are not just suggestions, people. these are not just suggestions. These are commandments. Amen? And Saul disguised himself. Disguised in the Hebrew means to seek or to mask. So he put some kind of outfit on him that he wouldn't get recognized. Put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night and said, "We pray thee, divine unto us," that is, tell us, okay, divine unto us, and that's, you know, once again, that's, you know, the whole business of contacting spirits or dead people or whatever and getting them to say things. "Divine unto me by familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee." In other words, I want to talk to somebody, and I want you to bring them up. Okay? "And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits." Okay, so even she knows that they've all been kicked out of the land, but they didn't kick her out. Okay, cut off from the familiar spirits and the wizards. Okay, in fact, what she's saying is, Saul, it was your law. You're the one that said they all had to get out of here, and now you're wondering, how in the world am I still here? "Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life?" In other words, you must be trying to entrap me. Okay? You must be trying to catch me. So, to cause me to die. Now, as yet, okay, she doesn't know for sure that this is Saul. But it's somebody trying to trap her in order to get for her to get caught and Saul to have her killed. "And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel." Now remember, Samuel's already dead and gone. And I think the Bible's pretty clear about this. There's another place where people went before the cross. People that died in the Old Testament, they went to this other place. Okay? And then there would be a judgment at the time of the cross, and then people would go to either heaven or hell. "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." Here we are talking about Saul trying to trap me, and you are Saul. She finally gets it. "And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw the gods ascending out of the earth." In other words, I saw spirits coming out of Sheol, this place where everybody went, good or bad. And I saw spirits coming out of there. Okay? "And he said unto her, What form is he of?" In other words, what did he look like? "And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." That's a robe, okay? A fancy cloak, priestly garment, prophet garment, okay? And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Now, wait a minute. If they don't come back from the grave, if it's all fake, then how in the world did Samuel actually come up? "And he stooped his face to the ground, and he bowed himself." Okay? Listen, God sent the spirit of Samuel to appear to Saul. It's not normally done. It's not usually done. But evidently God did it because it turned out to be Samuel. Okay? Turned out to be Samuel. Note this. Spiritism is sternly condemned in the scriptures. Okay? Mediums and even extra larges. Oh, come on. That's a joke. Okay? Mediums. Okay? That's what these people are. They're called mediums that, you know, finagle with stuff and so forth. Mediums do not really contact the dead. And neither do extra larges. Okay, I'm not saying this joke one more time. there needs to be some guffaws going on here. Right, Lily? Guffaw, guffaw. It's funny. I got a smile out of her, yeah. I need Matt today, huh? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right. But usually communicate with deceiving spirits. Okay? Usually they communicate with deceiving spirits. This story gives no justification for attempting to make contact with the dead. In other words, it's not saying it's okay to make contact with the dead. But God allowed this one time for Samuel to come up out of there and show himself because he had to teach Saul a lesson and all of us a lesson in the process of us having this story before us too. The woman was amazed and terrified when Samuel actually appeared. She didn't really expect him to appear because it doesn't happen. It's fake. See? It's fake. It doesn't usually happen. Something may come up. Something may appear. But it's not somebody bringing somebody out of Sheol. This implies that she was expecting not Samuel, but a demonic spirit. She wasn't expecting Samuel to come up when she called him. She was expecting a demonic spirit. Well, God flipped the, you know, flipped the whole situation and did send Samuel. Because it makes clear that Samuel did show up for a purpose. Okay? Clearly, Samuel's appearance was not the result of her witchcraft. The appearance of the prophet was brought about by an extraordinary act of God himself in order to deliver God's final message of defeat and death to the king. In order to get his point across before this king croaks, okay, he went ahead and allowed Samuel to come on up. All right, look at verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, so it is Samuel that showed up, but believe me, the witch was more surprised than anybody else because it's all deceiving spirits that she was dealing with, and she knew it. Okay? It's fake stuff. Why hast thou disquieted me? Okay? Why have you, looking for a definition here, it's the opposite of anger or fear. Okay? Why have you raised me up like this? Of course, it's not the woman that did that, but it's God. To bring me up. Why? And Saul answered and said, I am sore distressed. For the Philistines, now he gives his reason for wanting to talk to Samuel. Because the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answering me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Okay? Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me? You know, what is it? Seeing the Lord has departed from thee and is become thine enemy. God has become your enemy, Saul. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. This is Samuel telling him this. You're going to be in Sheol with us come tomorrow. All right? You're not going to make it, Saul. You've blown it. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Now, do you understand what I'm saying by Sheol? There is, according to the Old Testament, there's a place where everybody goes. But then when the cross comes about, then there's a distinction between heaven and hell. Okay? Everybody went to this Sheol, good or bad. And then came the judgment. Okay? All right. So which is which? In The Wizard of Oz, anybody remember that movie? The Wizard of Oz? Hmm? There were two witches. Anybody know who they were? Hmm? Glinda, I think, was the good witch, right? Supposedly good witch, right? They had names. One was from the east, one was from the west. You know, one good, one bad. I mean, really? A good witch? Anybody ever hear of a good witch except in The Wizard of Oz? I mean, you know, because they don't even, you know, that stuff's not of God. So how could there be a good witch? There is nothing good about any of it. When you get your eyes off of Jesus, okay, there's nothing good that can come of that. Now, there is much more to all of this, and I think it's pretty obvious. There's a recent influx today of Americanized Hinduism and Buddhism in this country. Much of it started back in the 1960s when the Beatles were over in India. And they met with the Maharaja, blah, 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 okay? And they learned of some of their Near Eastern critiques or ways to do things. And it's not of God. It is not Christian by any means, okay? Recent influx back in the 60s fooled a lot of people. Then all of a sudden it became very popular to do transcendental meditation, right? And there were gurus running all over the place, and they had their little palaces and stuff all over this country, not India, here. They brought it all over here, and everybody just, this is great, you know? And all the gurus, and then yoga became the big thing. That's still extremely popular today. But it's been Americanized. That doesn't mean it doesn't have an evil beginning to it. It's been Americanized. In other words, it's been toned down a lot. But there's an evil spirit behind it. If you take a good look at what this yoga is all about, it's about aligning the body in certain ways in order for the spine to be a certain way of being lined up. And it's called the Kundalini spirit. It's the spirit of the snake. It's a demonic thing, okay? And it's behind all the yoga. So they've turned it into an exercise program. In fact, somebody just finally put, what is it, Pilates? They put Pilates and yoga together and they call it Pilyo, that's what I think what they call it, something like that, okay? And it's put forward as a way to exercise and so forth, getting balance. And, you know, you've seen the poses and stuff and they do things for a certain amount of time and all of that kind of stuff. Well, you can go ahead and stand like that and strengthen your stuff, your balance and so forth, but there's a demonic spirit behind yoga as understood from the start, okay? But people don't get that. They think, oh, well, this is great because it does this for me and that for me. And now they've got commercials out there, okay, about these huge pillows, big bolsters, okay, with little humps of pillows on it. Like there's a big one and then there's a little small one. And the idea is to sit in such a way on this pillow that it winds your leg around and stretches you in positions that you normally would not make it into. And that is trying to get that Kundalini spirit, you know, to be able to flow through you. And I mean, I don't know about you, but who wants some spirit of a snake running through your body and taking control of you and so forth, you know? But this is all being advertised as, you know, it's, oh, I'm so empowered when I teach yoga, you know? There are signs right now in front of mainline churches, and I don't know who all else, that, you know, yoga class, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, you know, or any other time for that matter. But it's all about yoga, yoga, yoga. And everybody's, you know, do this move and do that move and so forth. Well, you look back into where that all comes from, it comes from Eastern religion. It does not come out of Christianity. And it does not come out of just exercising. But they've turned it into an exercise program and they're fooling a whole lot of people. It's It's being marketed as exercise. And everybody goes, well, then that must be okay. Must be fine. Okay? But they are poses that stretch you out in certain ways to make ready for that Kundalini spirit, the serpent spirit. And these pillows, by the way, are just really weird looking, you know. There's a great big cushion, bigger than your body, and then it's got this lump in a certain part of it, another cushion on top of it, and then you learn the various poses, and you twist your body around, and make it do this, and make it do that, and so forth. But what's behind it is to free up this Kundalini spirit, okay? And it's not good enough to just say, well, I just use it for exercise. Well, you're using something that God condemns, you know, things that are demonic, things that don't fit in with, you know, with God and with Jesus. You can go ahead and exercise in other ways, or even practice balancing and so forth, you know, in certain ways. But yoga has a background to it. And you're not getting rid of the background by being involved in it. Okay? Listen to this. Now, this goes back to about the year 2000, but it's probably worse now. Christian rap group Fishes for Faithful. High Energy Act baits teens with its crunk music. It's crunk music. Heavy bass beats echo throughout the church. Throughout the church? Yeah, throughout the church. As youngsters rush down the sanctuary aisles, colorful stage lights spin around overhead as the eager fans start screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when the sextet Dem Unknown Warrior Z, that's the name of the group, Dem Unknown Warrior Z. Are you trying not to make sense? You know? These people, are they trying not to make sense? Because that's about what it does. All right? So that group, it appears up front, and the music and the fans, they go quiet. And group leader Benny Preacher Foster, not preacher, Preacher, it's a slang, okay? Foster asked the crowd about 2,000 people to first give God the praise. Then the beat returns even louder than before. The high energy act that could stand as a headliner at any nightclub is instead performing its own religion-infused version of crunk. C-R-U-N-K. I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff is real. This stuff is out there. And maybe some people have come out of that, and maybe this group isn't around anymore, but I'm telling you, this is... what's there. We're fishing, Foster said, after the performance at Divine Faith Ministries. Divine Faith Ministries is a church putting this on, and it's in suburban Jonesboro, down in, Alabama. The bait youngsters are eating up is hip-hop. So we take that music, dice it up, we put some Jesus flavor in it, and that's going to make it Christian, right? That's going to make it Christian. We put some Jesus flavor in it and save souls in Jesus' name. Baloney. If it doesn't point to Jesus for real and not just flavoring, it's not going to get anybody saved, all right? That's not how it happens. People are saved because they're given the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're given the truth of God's holy word. And this other stuff is just a way for them to think they're doing well. So that's how we do it, he says. To its fans, crunk music with its electronic drums and synthesized brass instruments generates excitement akin to a religious experience. What experience is that? But the genre most often associated with R-rated chants in hip-hop artists is seldom heard in churches. Crunk became popular through Southern-based producer Little John. That's his nickname. Who is known for his energetic trademark shouts and hit singles, Get Low and snap your fingers. Snap your fingers. I respect Little John as a producer, Foster said. Like we should even be listening to this. Foster said, but we switch up the message with the thumping beat. You know, just ridiculous. We present ourselves as a hip-hop, in a hip-hop manner, so youths can have something they can relate to. Is that salvation? When people can relate to some worldly thing? Uh-uh. Dem Unknown Warrior Z first came together in 2001 through Foster's Now Faith in International Ministries. They came up with the group name when a fan called them Christ Warriors. Really? Who aren't concerned about receiving recognition for their good deeds. Well, that's, you know, this is trying to promote their good deeds. Their unorthodox approach isn't always a hit, though. At least we can be good, grateful about that. After group member Greg Taylor posted a performance of their song Walls Down on the internet video sharing site YouTube in June. Now this is, like I say, 20 years ago. Their single received more than 23,500 hits and mostly negative reviews. Finally, somebody started to see through it. Some viewers said they couldn't bear to watch the entire video after a scene where one person climbs up onto the pulpit. Can you imagine? You want to see me climb up onto this pulpit? Ain't gonna happen. I'd fall off before I got up there. But this guy climbed up onto the pulpit and jumped off. Okay? Hops off the pulpit while the entire crowd dances frantically. Despite their attention-grabbing style, Foster believes their purpose should be the focus. Okay? Look at what's behind this great music that we're playing. Don't just look at what we're doing. And then he has the gall to say, we are born again, sanctified, delivered in Jesus' name. Really? This doesn't promote Jesus at all. What do you think Jesus did with the young people of his day? You think he got them aside and did a bunch of crunk music and hopped off pulpits and things like that? Some people have a problem with the way we represent. It's time for some Christians to stand up and represent in the industry and the media. The Reverend Rodney Turner, a Baptist minister in Atlanta who has a traditional outlook, like that's some kind of bad thing, okay? Traditional outlook, believes bringing crunk into church isn't right. A pastor for 17 years, he said youngsters can be saved without using worldly tactics. Does God need any new gimmicks to uplift us? No, Turner said. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Really, are young people turning from the things such as their bad habits and fornication after the show? No evidence of that. That's what it all comes down to, is a life changed for the better, for Jesus. Group member Tracy Brown and said his six children have been able to relate better to church because of the gospel crunk. All six children being led off to hell if they stick with it. That's not going to bring anybody to Jesus. And it has given them a positive outlook. Yeah, positive because they like it. And so we get what we want out of church instead of what we need. For me to hear my kids sing the songs and understand, it helps me, said Brown. Rather than talking about shooting someone or drugs, I know for my children, I want to hear them say something positive. The group performs its gospel crunk at least twice a week at worship services and Bible studies in the church. On their own time, the group members' paths diverge. Taylor, 24 years old, studies religion at Georgia State University. Dice Gamble, 31 years old, focuses on her solo gospel rap career. Tracy Brown, 33, and 45-year-old Anthony Brown are ordained pastors. And Talon Stewart, 32, is an entrepreneur. Yvette Stubber, 46, who attended the event at Divine Faith Ministries, said she's been a member of the church since 1995. She's noticed some Christians have been willing to attend church through Gospel Crunk. Willing to attend church, and you'll do anything to get somebody to be willing to attend church. Anything, especially if they don't want the gospel. You'll do anything. That's what this is talking about. Okay? It's all about getting people through the door. And what good does that do? Unless they're told the truth. Well, we're trying to bring the kids that we bring to the kids that we recognize them and get them into church. See? Get them in. Get them in. Doesn't matter that we give them garbage. Just get them in. What better way to do this for them? Oh, there's tons of better ways. All right? Been there, done that. I've taken youth groups to Michael W. Smith and you couldn't even hear what was going on. It was so loud. And I've, you know, all night bowling. What did that get anybody? Sore hand, sore back, sore feet. Jesus has got to be in the center of it. So many people are just out there to deal with the numbers. They'll do anything, get people in the door, and including giving them, a fake understanding of Jesus and all this other junk that goes along with it. They've been told it's good. They've been told by the people that do it that it's good. And so as far as they're concerned, it is good. And that's why you're hearing this. This is reliance on anything but Jesus. They flavored something with Jesus as much as they said about Jesus in all of this. They flavored something with Jesus. That is not going to save anybody. Because there's no real Jesus there. So what's really the question? Which is the real Jesus? Which is which? God says it's all bad. It's all wrong. It's got to be God. It's got to be Jesus. And it's got to be Jesus of the Bible too. Because they can shout Jesus, 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 and it gets them nowhere. Except into a false sense of security. And a lot of these people that I'm talking about in this article are into that. Let me show you what I'm talking about, okay? Take a look at this box down here. These are things we've all seen before, years and years ago. But they're here, they're available, you got a VCR, you can borrow it, or get a hold of a VCR and borrow it. This is Seduction and Beyond, a video series by Dave Hunt. It's called Selfism. That's the big, big problem today, is the self-life, all right? Here's visualization. That's where you have that mind view, you know. That's why I say I'd be careful with trying to, you know, visualize anything because it just draws up that bad spirit, okay? Global peace and the rise of the Antichrist, okay? The New Age, A Pathway to Paradise by Dave Hunt, okay? History of Zorro. Oh, how did that get in there? Oh, that was a joke. The God Makers, about the Mormon Church. Hell's Best Kept Secret, Ray Comfort. I got several copies of that, by the way. Meditation. This is the Pagan Invasion. We've seen all these, I know, but I'm talking about to renew your understanding of these things. Meditation, Pathway to Deception. All right? Exposing the New Age Lie. See, I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff is for real, and God comes against it. All right? Revival of Evil. Halloween. Trick or Treat. Okay? And then there's these smaller pamphlets and just tracks, really, Your Day in Court by Leonard Ravenhill. Here's one of our own. This was a newsletter from many, many years ago. Hallow what? Take off on understanding what Halloween is really all about. People just think, oh, it's dressing up. Oh, it's just going around getting candy and so forth and so on. No, there's a spirit behind it. True and false conversion. That's Charles Finney. What's wrong with the gospel? And a section two has been added to this. It's called The Added Parts by Keith Green. Can God use rock music by Keith Green? The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. World religions. This is about Christianity and Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and primitive religions. Okay? There's a book on small book on Jehovah's Witnesses. Your Day in Court. Okay? That's, I think I already mentioned that one. Yeah. That's by Leonard Ravenhill. And then there are these two books here. Here's Christianity in Crisis by Hank Hanegraaff. And it covers a lot of subjects in here. Recreation on the cross, redemption in hell, rebirth in hell, reincarnation. These are all false and fake understandings of religion and God and so forth. Force of faith, formula of faith, faith of God, faith hall of fame. Deification of man, that is turning man into a god. Demotion of God, you know, ignoring God altogether. Deification of Satan, demotion of Christ, okay? Symptoms and sickness, Satan and sickness, sin and sickness, sovereignty and sickness, and there's just so many different cast of characters, cult or cultic, charismatic or cultic, charting the course. That's Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer Man. Then there's this one. Handbook of Today's Religions by Josh McDowell and Don Stewart. And, oh, it just covers, this book covers so much. Let me just read off a few of these things. You know, what is a cult? What are the characteristics of a cult? Beliefs of Orthodox Christianity, so you don't get the two confused. Hare Krishna, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Transcendental Meditation, Theosophy, EST, Children of God, the Unification Church, that is the Moonies, Way International, the Worldwide Church of God, Christian Science, Unity, and it goes on and on and on. Gene Dixon, and firewalking, and fortune telling, and ghosts, and hypnotism, and magic, and Ouija boards, and parapsychology, and psychic surgery, and so forth. It goes on and on. Confucianism, Taoism, Shinto. See, don't think for a minute, because they might even mention Jesus, that all that stuff is Christian. It's from a different era, it's from a different world, and it's not of God. It's all, you know what it's trying to do? It's trying to lead you away from the real Jesus. That's what it's all trying to do, lead you away from the real Jesus. And then how are you ever going to get to the real Jesus if you're following all these things that lead away from him? Amen? You see what I'm saying? So if anybody wants to borrow any of this and look through it and read through it or watch these videos or whatever, you know, you're more than welcome to it. The fact is that God has his own ways and God is in control. These other things are trying to take control. They're trying to get in, into your heart, into your life, and thereby, you know, have its control over you. But you're never going to really be submitted to the real Jesus of the Bible if you're following other ways to get there. And that's what a lot of this is. It's an alternative view. Well, I'll just tell you something. I don't need an alternative view. I have the view of the Bible, and that's what it says. And God knows what he's talking about, and nobody's going to get there except by him. Amen? That's what he said. Nobody gets to the Father but by me. Praise God. And that's the me of the Bible. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? Because there's a lot of people that say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But it's not really the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? Everybody see that? All right. Okay. Now, you might have thought, well, you could just save this message for around Halloween because we're talking about witches. That's why I didn't, because we're in the middle of this stuff now. There really are people trying to lead other people into a good understanding, so-called good understanding of these things and what they mean. But they're not going to tell you what the Bible says. You watch them, they're not going to tell you, except to put down the Bible, you know. And we don't want to believe the Bible. So we get rid of the Bible, and then we bring all this stuff to light, and everybody thinks, ooh, this is great. You know, ooh, you know. It's not of God. If it's not of God, it's not good. Amen? Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for the truth that is all here. Lord, I remember through all the years, dear God, sharing these kinds of things, and especially early on, when we had the videos, and we had the pagan invasion, and we had all these things from Dave Hunt and so forth, Lord. Well, I think this stuff is needed again. I think we need to come into touch with what the fake stuff is, too. I know someone once said that we don't need to deal with the devil's dogs. And there's a truth in that. Praise the Lord, there's a truth. But if you don't know there's any fake stuff out there, you can easily slip into thinking that the fake stuff is really the good stuff because you weren't told anything else. So I pray, dear God, that by the power of your Spirit, you'll open this up to our hearing, to our understanding, dear God, and see which is which. How in the world did Saul get in such a bad place? It's because he wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't go God's way on all of these things. And he ends up in big, big trouble. So I pray, dear God, open our understanding today and in this week. And start us along, dear God, as we begin our prayer for the truth. Hallelujah. And getting ready, dear God, to put together this Advent book. We know, dear God, it's crucial. We've been handed quite a challenge, dear God. Every year you tell us, go ahead and get Jesus to the people. And I pray, dear God, that that's exactly what we'd be about. And we'd come to you first, Lord, to hear your version of how things ought to go. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.